Bobek concern real sin? You just mentioned, I think, on the other side, Bob, the Allah.
The Allah, yes, we come up to the Allah. Now, early hours, we come up at night because the early hours of the morning when the four boats come, canvas boats, it's a swift running river, very swift, and deep one, they had the boat turned over when they were crossing, turned over, we were lucky we got across here, got the other side, all right. After a bit of arguments about where to tie the ropes, so we were running right.
What about the boat that turned over?
There was 12
in the boat?
Killed, yeah.
Killed?
Drowned.
Right.
Drowned.
Mm.
That was about the 12th.
Yeah, I think it was about the 12th of April.
Yeah, 12th of April.
Yeah.
And we got to the other side and we started moving across the fields. But 25 pounders opened up, put barrage down. As we got to the runoff to come up onto the road, in the fields, the ledger over the deep side, and it was on our right hand side, I would say, nearly south. If we were going east, it would be south, but it was on our right, turned to go along that. And we saw Hungarians, we didn't know what they were. They were in brown uniform. There were, God say, hundreds of them. And with spandrels, no shirts. They're putting their hands up. I think the artillery is fighting them. The baddage.
Mm.
And they're shouting, "Ungar, Ungar." I said, "They don't give a damn if you're to Ungar." I thought they were shouting, "Ungar." Anyway, we picked them up. We went away.
But were they firing at you, those?
No, they never fired. Right. Never fired. They were fighting, as I say, as we started, got out the boats, there was the bodies put down, and it was just bursting in front of this engine door. And I think they're fighting them, firing.
Yeah.
It was like you're keeping the heads down.
Yes.
In the trenches, half dug, they weren't deep, because they were covered by bottom of edge.
Yeah.
The bottom of edge was lifted up.
Yeah.
And it was rolls up this track, gets nearly to the end that it opened up, where we opened fire, and the place Otterson was the village, and we were going up the two red ones, NCO, there was myself, there was my red one, and the number two, the Lance Corporal was behind. Both taking charge of the section itself. And the other had the Lance Corporal with them. There was eight of us anyway. Going up the road, there was other NCO from the other section. And there was eight across this road, and they dropped five out of the eight. There was three of us who had to get down. And the stretcher bearer shouted, "We come up. Get in the stretcher, the lads on the stretcher, that only one stretcher at a time." And he had nobody, he was on his own, so he had to get one of the lads to help. And there's a young lad who's volunteered. I said, "Come on now, we have to have somebody to take it." He was volunteered, picked it up, took about half a dozen steps. He got it, the sniper agent dead. He went down, anyway, another lad, I said, "Come on, somebody will have to get hold of him. The lad can't go on his own, which said to him, if the king be left out, a man called Jordy Cave got it. He got hold of the statue. Sniper fired again. He ripped his, he had an assault helmet. The Canadians, they call them assault helmets now. It was, we used to call them the Canadian helmet. He ripped it open. Like a tin opener, right down the side of the mountain. So, 6-inch cut, to cut it open. He turned around and said, it bastard, get your side straightened. Jordy was.
Really? Well,
he turned around, I'm not telling a word of a lie, he said, you silly bastard, get your side straightened.
It's like... eighth of an inch from his brain, probably, isn't it? When that's it was gone through his helmet, you said.
Yes, so what he did gone through his helmet.
Yeah.
The first one, he gone right through his helmet.
Yeah.
That was dead centre.
Mm.
The other one took it this side.
Yeah.
He ripped it open.
Yeah.
He did a big gap right down.
Yeah.
The second one.
Yeah.
But the bit of humour on still.
Mm.
Humour with him.
Mm.
Anyway, he took it back. And enjoyed it. Well, they sent D company around from the cover of the edge, and they went along and come round the back of these.
Yeah.
But they were firing machines and all sorts.
Yeah.
At us.
Yeah.
As we come up to this sniper, just as they picked a lad up, it was one of the lads. Yeah.
Mm. What sort of country is it round there? Oh.
Edge Road. Typical what I call English country, Edgerows and green fields.
Yeah.
There's no vineyards and all like that. Farming country.
Farming country.
Farming country,
I would call it. So this, I mean, I would imagine that there could also be all sorts of people with guns in an area like that.
Yes,
So, you know, snipers, there can be farm people, maybe they've got guns that are firing guns.
No, no, they were, when they got to them, they were, the, not the ordinary Wehrmacht, the, what we met once before, the Luftwaffe regiment.
Mm.
They were there, they took prisoner off.
Right.
They were fanatics,
they were.
They took, four to five.
And this was round this village called Otterson.
Otterson.
Mm.
It was a house, sort of overlooked this place.
Mm.
As we come up out of it.
Yeah.
And there must have been in the, where the fire comes from.
Mm.
But when we got down, so they couldn't hit us, we couldn't see because we were up over the bank.
Mm.
It had to be stood up to see him.
Yeah. Did you stay in Otterson, or did you move around from there?
We went to the other side of Otterson, and they dug in the field, the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And the Welsh regiments, I think it was, or Royal Welsh, one of the Welsh regiments come to us at night, when waiting to go into the attack, just forming up to go into the attack, and some German young lads come down with a sergeant and officer, and they were singing the one of the German army songs, I don't know what they call it. And we took the Welshmen to fight. They just come, there's thousands of them coming, and there were about 50. And I took some young lads that were in the ditch after they'd gone through us. We stopped in our tents. 15 yards and thought, well, they're not coming across our field like if they get past it, they're all right. And they went past down this road. He'd always been brought up, don't fire until you get at them. We knew they were well covered behind, so there was company behind us. Anyway, when the artillery did a bit of shelling in front of us, after they had gone past, they all dived into these ditches. We went down and picked them up, and some of the lads were as young as 14.
Yeah.
Mm. 14 years old, so they've got them drunk. Mm. But they've got them online.
Just bravado.
Yeah, they've got them online and they're all right by scouts. They're in army uniform, they're like cadets.
Were they armed?
Yes, sir, yes, they were there. But they were coming to strengthen this, they didn't know we were in. They didn't know we'd get, because their communication was bad. Mm. I know they had the telephones and all this, but where the Kelly was going, when we crossed different places, they must have been damaged. So I said, but no, tied to the wrong one, because they were moving all the time, they put some of the room to run a cable.
Yeah, I suppose that's probably
that could have been. And the lad didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, the officer didn't.
Yeah.
But there was a sergeant, and there was a lieutenant, second lieutenant. Yeah. They were bringing in enforcement, but they were boys.
So what happened to these boys? Did they go to...
The prisoner of war.
Yeah.
Took a prisoner of war. Mm. Yeah.
Sent back to the rear.
They just went into the ditch at the side. Yeah.
No, when they're taken, they're sent to the rear, presumably.
Oh, yes, them off the back.
Yeah.
Back down. Mm. And they never, returned, they saw out of them.
No.
They sure were changing back. Mm.
Mm. And what about after that, Bob? Where did you go to after that?
Never, Summit.
A strange name.
Never, Neverland, something like that.
I think in the book there is a word, a town, a village, with a very long sounding name similar to that.
Something funny.
Yeah.
It was never some.
Never, ever, Bergen or something.
Yes.
Yes, so again, similar sort of things?
We got some German soldiers in Ceres. Mm. Yeah. Mm. We went to the one out of it, looking at the cellar, looking down in the cellar, and always went to make sure the cellar, and you would just take one of the documents with us. And if the fire had got the cellar door, it did.
Yeah, because yes. I mean, you're in Germany anyway now, aren't you? So everyone is potentially an enemy.
This woman, and I took her. I think she thought I was going to shoot it. But I made her go in front of me, don't sell her door. Mm-hmm. Don't sell her door, and there was a lot of civilians in. But when I saw there were civilians, that never bothered. They had the paraffin light in, you could see around the place. I just left them. But with me taking her down there, she pointed across the road to that house. Soldaten, she said. She pointed to that house, and we got, three or four.
So, this German civilian has now,
German woman,
has pointed to this
pointed
house.
To the other house.
Where there's some German soldiers.
Yes, where there are German soldiers. Kellen.
Yeah.
And if I hadn't threatened her like that, I think she thought, I think if I hadn't done that, I don't know, it might just have been her way of saying thank you because we're not bothering because there were two young lasses and there was no fella, no woman, and a little lad. We're not bothering them, but it was her way of saying thank you. I don't know whether it was for you, but she told me that soldiers were in there.
Well, I mean, they weren't normally bothered, Bob, were they? If you found an obvious place like that in Germany that was just obviously a few civilians there, you wouldn't normally bother them, would you?
Oh, no.
No.
No, we never bothered civilians, but all of the soldiers, there were not many, they were going into place and they didn't get shot. Like, when the civilians are out, you don't want to throw a bomb. But we knew there were German soldiers.
Yes.
We knew the German soldiers didn't know that all the 56 in there were made bomb. But you didn't do it when there were civilians about. Mm. We knew when we got into Germany that there were civilians about.
Yeah.
then it went on. And we're picking it down. We a bit cautious what they did, but you saved yourself. I thought they might as well shoot my mother or they shoot me.
Yes. So around this time I guess it's all you mentioned a couple of villages there. But are there more villages around here or village fighting or?
Yes. When we took that went to the end of the village, we cleared it. But these then three or four out of that cellar, the guy was on my side, but the one on the other two in the cellar, I didn't in the cellar. And we went up the road, so far to see if there were no roadblocks or anything. Did a bit of tour and come back and stop there overnight. Part of next day, I think it was. And we moved on to another place.
Amundsen.
I know it was something to do with your lad.
Yes.
And
yes.
We went and we took that, and I don't think we just killed a bit of shelling, maybe went a bit of mortar, and we went in. We got the odd, come across here, throwed it down the boat. And then the next one, there was a bit of a skirmish to get in, but as I say, the artillery had done a bit of softening up, a bit of frightening.
Stemmen. I think there's a place there called Stemmen. I seem to remember something I've read in a book, I think, something about a tank stem and where a tank was in a river or a ditch or something.
Yes.
Yeah, but yeah, I think it was a tiny place as far as I can read.
The only little place. There was a two of the things there, I think, two there. And as you say, there was a tank in trouble. He got his cell block off, went through the bridge, I think, and then he tried to go to the bridge.
You remember it, yeah?
That's how. Yeah, I think he tried to cross a bridge and it wasn't strong enough. Something like that. No, he got the cell bogged down.
Yeah.
He had to be pulled out.
Right.
That was one of the tanks out of action.
Out of where?
Out of action.
Yes.
That was one that was no out to
work. Yes.
And then the next day, we will move Kirklinter. Now we were crossing the open ground and it was woods in front. And this machine gun, this bandor, there was rifles opened up at us. We had no cover whatsoever. With no tanks with us, but we knew there was some tanks behind. And I said to Mr. Broughton, Lieutenant, I said, if you don't get the cops in, I said, and burn them out, I said, they're going to finish if you do not, because we've got a lot of casualties there.
That's crocodiles again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Flamethrowers.
Yeah, flamethrowers. Crocs in. If you don't get the crocs in and burn them out, the few words beside them, but still, you're going to have no platoon left. So he got to the Holy Meeswood, the lad. Fleming. So he got Fleming on his little 80, 38 set back to Company HQ. Send the cocks in, send the crocodile in, the comb. That's how I knew what the fuel that we used looked like. Because the first quick that they didn't like. And it was laying on the grass like syrup.
Oh, I see.
It looked like syrup, that's how I knew it was like solidified.
Yeah.
I always thought it was a proper liquid, but it wasn't anything like a jelly.
Because you mentioned the flamethrowers in St. Erlenbosch, didn't
yes.
you?
Yes, earlier on I said I think it's like a...
You said it was sort of jellified or something,
yes.
didn't you? So you didn't know it
I
in St. Erlenbosch?
I didn't know it was jellified.
No.
I just thought it was liquid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found out it was jellified.
At this place.
It's outside Kirklinden.
Yeah.
Because the first squirt there had never ignited.
Mm.
It just laid on the ground.
Yeah.
They backed off about 20 yards and threw a phosphorus grenade. We were there. It was just in front of us. It all burst up into flame.
What burst up into flame?
This jelly.
The jelly did?
Yes.
When
jelly.
They threw this grenade?
Phosphorus grenade.
Yeah.
It said it light,
did it set light to the tank?
No, he didn't. Backed up.
Oh, he backed away.
He backed up. He knew what he was doing. He
yeah.
backed away. He had the clue
yeah.
to get out of the road.
Mm.
But it stuck. It just wasn't near enough to do mm. any damage.
Mm. Mm.
And they give a couple of squirts to this wood. And they started coming out. You could hear them screaming. And this fire, we can no doubt about it, it was fierce.
Yeah.
But it was, they were life or death. You had lost all their men, you got somebody to stop them.
This was in a wooded area, Bob, was it this?
It was wood, just outside the dish, Kirklinden. There was a village just the other side,
mm.
like in the valley, right yeah. in the bottom.
Kirklinden was a village,
yes,
saying.
A village, mm. yes. This was a wooded area around as we approached it.
Mm-hmm.
And they started coming out, and biggest soldier I ever saw got out of one of them trenches. He was a German officer, and he could speak perfect English. He said, "You still haven't won the war." He said, "We'll still beat you." And he was about 7 foot. I thought, at the time of these, we loved my Benjamin. At the time, I was caught up, and he was my Benjamin in the section. And he said, "What are we going to do with you?" I said, and he was about 5'5". This fellow was 7 foot. I said to his mate, I said, "Stick your benefit behind." I said, he was so cute, too.
But you heard him say this, though.
Eh?
You heard him say this
about...
He
said it to me.
Oh, right.
He said it to me. Because I only had to sing one. Then, and Tiny had Bren. Oh, Tiny was number two on Bren, that was it.
Mm.
He was number two on the yet rifle.
Mm.
And I said, "Pick your brain with this." I said, "Then he was still more open." He did. But he was thinking, you haven't won the war yet. He said, "Well, you still beat you."
Because this was I'm thinking,
April,
about April.
April 16th, 17th.
About that time?
15th.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the middle of April, because yeah. I know I come on leave not too long after that. And I left on the 17th, I left.
Yeah.
And so I know the date.
You left Germany on leave the 17th?
To come on leave. There was a leave, there was a draw, and you got a number. But that meant they carried it. Mine was 500 odd. I never thought I'd got a leave left at war, but I got one just. So they were coming to the end.
Yeah. So was that the end of Kirklinden?
No, they went into the village.
Mm.
That was only the start.
Right.
And they were firing from left and right at them, because it was within all of it.
Mm.
They were firing from the right hand side. Officer, Mr. Broughton, he got some machine gun bullets across his shoulders, his back, firing from the side, coming in from the side. We were knocked. A full company, that was, I said, it saved 60, 70 men, down to 20 odd men. I took over the company as I was the senior NCO or the corporal, except outside the major or something. Major had gone, what lieutenants gone, what sergeants.
And Branson was injured.
And wounded. Yes, mine was injured.
Yeah.
But was injured. They were injured or killed.
Mm.
But Broughton was injured, and Major got shot in the hand.
Mm.
He I don't know what happened, but it was armed. And all the others, I was the senior NCO. We went down, we took our crossroads in the middle of Kirkland town. We took the crossroads and decoupled the country road. And we turned to the right into the lead. Now I will say it like that, we turned right at the crossroads as you can see it. And went up the next road. And we were keeping this decoupled right flank. We were keeping that covered. But we were only about 9 brands on any anyway. 9 brands between about 20. In the 21 or 23 men, myself.
In your company, in the company of that space.
I had all the company men, but I hadn't got the men. And Captain Fox took over, he was our second in command, and he said, "What do you want, Atkinson? Two sections, or do you want 3 of 7? That's what makes me think there was 21. Three. I said, "I love 2 and 10.
Or 10 and 11 or something.
Right. Yeah. Just, he said, "Do you want a big one?" I just said, "I'll have the 2 of that, I'll have the 10. I know one was 10 and the other was 11.
Yeah, two rather than 3.
Yeah. There was a carver. But he was one that we had to come from the attack. You know nothing about him, but the but didn't count him, 10, there was him and Lance Carver, myself. So I'd be 24.
So was the village taken then? Is that
yes, we took the village.
Yeah.
Then we stopped overnight. I was in the farmhouse with one lot of 10, and I put the other lot with the other Carver and Lance Carver, put them two together. But I had this tiny race, the number 2 on brand. I had him my second in command. So he could relieve me for having a bit of a trip. And the next day, we moved. And we moved. I don't know what he does. Rothberg or Roth, you know. I got to where I got away from there.
Oh, so you didn't go on from there, really?
I didn't. That was when I come back, I come back just as I was running down.
Into where?
Amberg.
Amberg.
So I couldn't say what happened at Rothberg. We got into Rothberg, who took that, I don't know.
No, you weren't there anyway.
We moved from Kirkland to get another place.
Yeah, you know.
I think it was Rothberg. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah. But
I went on leave.
Where did you go on leave, Bob?
York.
Oh, you came to the UK?
Seven days leave. 7 days from leaving Dover.
Yeah.
And the day journey home and the day journey back.
7 days from leaving Dover.
Leaving Dover. We got back to Houston.
Yeah.
But it's funny, we got this pass stamped at Dover, but you got it departed back at London.
Oh, I see. So
like you go at London, you have to go and get a pass stamp there to say you got back on that ride there.
7 days.
You got the date given when you got off the boat.
Yeah.
So it didn't matter whether it was midnight, what it was, whether there was a train available or anything.
No.
You've lost.
So, presumably, you came back then to Cumbria?
I come to Lancashire.
Lancashire then? Cumbria now, August. Lancashire then, yeah. To see your mum and your dad? Was your dad still there?
Yeah.
See your mum and your dad?
No.
I mean,
come on.
What?
I come on, well.
To say they were pleased to see you.
They didn't know me if I'd ever gone to work. I come on off my old train, walked home. And the mother said, what you come back for? She thought it was my dad walking in, because he'd gone to the bus at the bottom of, not bottom of the street, it was about 500 yards away, there was a bus stop, the workmen trying to sit here. And then she looked out and turned around, she was washing day, it was a Monday, and said, well, no, what day it was. She was washing. She turned around, and it was Mater that got away. And she got her out.
Well, I can imagine.
She had to come all at night, but pushed them on to come with Milton. Well, they got thrown by a wine out, and Billy and they got drunk.
Which wine? Rhubarb.
Rhubarb wine, well made. They didn't come in for about 7 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Billy and they got drunk. His horse Peggy took him off.
Yeah.
And I had about three houses to do. I had to come and see the sat down drinking wine and talking to me.
I don't know what your contact had been over the last, since you landed in France, but you've been writing, had you? Had you been writing?
Sending whiz bangs.
Whiz bangs?
Yeah.
Were they?
Oh, I'll show you.
Hang on, Bob. Sorry.